Welcome to the 37th Annual United States Psychotronics Association Conference. This is the Sunday afternoon session, and we have Ellen Kamai, who we are honored to have. She was our keynote speaker yesterday, and she has another additional talk for us today. She is often referred to as the natural nurse. She's been involved in natural medicine since 1973 when she directed a program at Ethnobotany at Cochise College in Douglas, Arizona. She attended Rutgers and Cornell University. She sat on a panel of traditional medicine at Columbia Presbyterian Medical School and is a medical school instructor teaching botanical pharmacology. She was nominated for the March of Dimes Woman of Distinction 2004. She provides online certification education modules in herbal medicine, essential oil therapy, energy medicine, radionics, and all aspects of holistic medicine, and provides personal health consultations. Ellen's topic today is non-GMO, better late than never. Please give a warm welcome to Dr. Ellen Kamai.
I have found everything very interesting at this conference. It's been fantastic. And let's give Scott a round of applause and Beverly, they're both here right now, for being instrumental in putting this thing together so we can all be here. As you know, that's a major effort. It doesn't just happen. There's the intention and then there's the work, right? We have to put that behind it. Now, the topics that I have been present for really seem to be rather repetitive, but like we hear a lot of the same story. So you've actually heard a lot of what I'm going to say, because in last night's presentation, they talked about GMO. So I'm going to talk about GMO, how it's done. I'm not sure, some of you may know how it's done, some of you might find that new information so you know more about it. And then I'll wait, because I have a feeling more people will wander in, because a very important thing to know is the political activism that is required at this point in time because of genetic modification. And it's very current, as in, on Friday, our own U.S. government, House of Representatives, passed an absolutely diabolical, horrible piece of legislation, and it sped through the House. I'm going to do this again at the end, okay, because I don't want people to miss this information. This is the action step associated with our talk today. So the name of this is named by the people pushing it through, which is Monsanto. It's called, this is what they do. How many of you know what Newspeak is? No? Never read 1984? Okay. Yeah, well, 1984, which of course we're up against right now, talked about Newspeak. That's where you use certain verbiage. For instance, our peacekeeping troops. What do our peacekeeping troops do? War and kill. But they're not called the war and kill troops. They're called the peacekeeping troops. That would be an example of Newspeak. So this is what they call this law. The Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Now, if you were a House of Representatives person or a senator and heard that, does that sound nice? Very. The Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. What it does is it completely stops all the local state governments, many of whom have now passed something called GMO labeling. Something like Vermont, Connecticut, several states have now passed a GMO labeling act, which says that food has to be labeled whether it's GMO or not, so you can use that information in making your decision about purchase. Okay? This law will disallow any state from indicating in any way if a product is GMO or not. Now, it opens the door to allow voluntary labeling, which any manufacturer can ignore. And it completely limits the FDA's ability to conduct any kind of pre-market safety testing in GMOs. So it basically is a carte blanche law named the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. However, what we're calling it on the other side, and I'm on the side of not allowing it to pass, we're calling it the DARK Act, D-A-R-K, and that stands for Denying Americans the Right to Know. And that's what this act really is, okay? So if you care at all, tonight from your hotel room or go online, you know, there's two computers in the hall, they're free for us to use, and you can contact your senator, because it's too late now. The House of Representatives passed this on Thursday, since we've been at this conference, and almost completely unilaterally. There were like three votes against it. This is like the scariest, horriblest thing ever. Well, there's lots of them, right? But this is one we possibly can offset by contacting our senators and tell them, vote no. You have to know the number. It's HR 1599. HR 1599. Okay, tell your senators to vote no. How many of you know how to get in touch with your senators? Okay, if you don't, if you go online, there are several organizations such as organicconsumers.org, organicconsumers.org. They set up a thing which is called a mouse warrior, and I'm sure you've all done this. So there's a place you can click and say, make your opinion known, and they actually send you right to your senator's website, and you can, oh yeah, all over the place, right? Who has ever participated in these things? It's all online, all over the place. That happens to be a good one for this. It's organicconsumers.org. When you're writing it out, you know, there's two C's in the middle there, button against each other, so it starts to look funny, but that's what it is. Organicconsumers.org. Okay, I am going to bore all of you with this information again at the end, in case we have a larger audience. It's the most important takeaway. So, we're going to start talking about the health risks of GMOs. First of all, how much of our food is now GMO? Well, it depends. There's really not that many crops that are GMO right now. However, they have just approved about 12 more, just so you know. And they have approved the first GMO animals already. And they have deregulated them so they will be completely unlabeled. For instance, salmon. Who's ever seen a GMO salmon? Just Google GMO salmon. A regular salmon is about this big, right? They're not tremendous fish, right?
Fish story.
Yeah, and that's right, because the GMO salmon are like, you know, they're like more than 6 feet. They're giant. Yeah. And they have been approved, and they do exist, and they could even be on sale already, okay? And they will not be, you will not know.
Sorry for the question.
Please, go ahead.
But for the sake of continuity, who is they?
What do you mean, who is they? Oh, the government. The government.
Specifically,
well, the USDA, because the USDA, which is in charge of food regulatory. Now, who's in charge of the USDA? Who is the food czar? Who is the food czar? Do you know? Ah, okay. Tom Velik is the food czar. And do you know who he was before he was the food czar? He was the head attorney for Monsanto. And the day President Obama went into office, I'm not talking about this time, I'm talking about the first time. I actually voted for him the first time, you know, I'll share that. And never again could I support anything that he did, because the day he was inaugurated, he took the entire Monsanto board, including this gentleman, and you can just look this up. This is fact. It's not channeled information or anything like that. He took the entire board from Monsanto and installed them into very high-level USDA and FDA positions. So they are the ones, and that's why it's called a revolving door. The entire FDA is made up of people from the pharmaceutical industry, and they're there for a time. And what happens when their time in FDA is over? Back to the pharmaceutical. So that's why they call it a revolving door.
How do you spell his name?
I don't remember, but just look it up. Just look up. His name is Tom. I believe it's Tom Velik. It's very easy to find. Just look up Food Czar of the United States. And he's also the head of the USDA. What is that? The United States Department of Agriculture. And that's who makes these laws allowing them selling the genetically modified food. Okay? It's not a pretty picture. So not that many crops, but the thing is, how many things have soy in them? What about in the health food industry? Let's say Boca Burgers. Okay, it's just an example. I don't want to get sued by Boca Burgers. Okay, and lots of other vegetarian burgers. Let's throw that in as a disclaimer. So they're full of GMO soy. So if it doesn't say organic soy, then it's GMO soy. And that's included in supplements and vitamins, because if they're in soy oil, like if they're vitamin E in soy oil, vitamin E is extracted from GMO soy. And then the capsule is also GMO soy. Okay? So if you think that you don't eat any GMO products, I would have to differ with you. You're probably, you know, innocently incorrect. So anything that's made out of corn, how about anything that says high fructose corn syrup?
Oh my God. Oh yeah.
GMO, okay? It's prolific. It is actually in about 80% of any packaged product on the grocery store shelves. So you have eaten it. You have eaten it for sure. Canola oil, that's a really bad thing. Canola oil is prolific where Whole Foods puts it on all their cooked foods in the salad bar. Okay, my daughter, who's a chef for Whole Foods, the reason I couldn't attend this morning session, I was actually in my room helping her do a PowerPoint that she's presenting, because she's really raising up in the ranks there. I'm very proud of her. And that's one of the changes she's instituting, to not use canola oil on the cooked bar. She only has right now, you know, in her store, which is Boca Raton, Florida, where she works. But really, they should take it out of everything, because canola oil is genetically modified rapeseed.
But only in Canada, or all canola oil?
So all canola oil, because the thing is, the name canola means Canada oil, because there's no such thing as a canola. It's not like olive oil, which we get from olives, or coconut oil that we get from coconut. There is no canola. Okay? That's a fabricated concept, just like the name of this law, you know, Safe and Accurate Food Label Act law. So here's some other things that are genetically modified. Papaya, zucchini, sugar beets. Sugar beets is big, because anything that says sugar, they don't even have to say from sugar beets. But if it is from sugar beets, it's from genetically modified sugar beets. And they can just call it sugar. By the way, they've changed the labeling laws for the artificial sweeteners, such as aspartame, NutraSweet, all the other ones. I wrote an article, it's online. It's look up Natural Nurse Artificial Sweeteners. It's all documented online. And I also did a YouTube on that as well. You can easily find me. So that's stuff you want to stay away from. And all of that is also genetically modified. So they just picked. Here's a picture of the salmon. I forgot I had it here. Here's a picture of the salmon. This is it. Genetically modified salmon. It's 24 inches, 6 pounds. A regular salmon is 13 inches and about 2.8 pounds. Both of those are the same age. So, yeah.
And if it says wild salmon?
Okay, if it, first of all, you can say anything, of course. If it is truly wild salmon, it's not farm-raised and it's not genetically modified. And if you are going to choose to eat salmon, I suggest you buy wild salmon. I mean, all we'll know is that it's labeled. I actually won't eat salmon because I don't believe that. I eat salmon if I'm visiting my son. His name, by the way, is Titus Comet Kohoutek, which I thought was interesting because last night he was referring to the Kohoutek conference, remember? Anybody remember? Okay, I was very involved with that, so much so that that is my son's legal name, Titus Comet Kohoutek. In any event, when I visit him, and he lives in Seattle, right under the space needle thing, which is like right where he belongs, for many reasons, then I'll go eat salmon, because we actually go where the salmon are jumping, and that's truly wild, and I can see it being caught, and it tastes totally different, and it has really pink meat, because genetically modified salmon doesn't. It has gray meat, And then they feed it pink dye.
Get out of here.
Yes. Sorry. Truth hurts. So I'm sure, and that's just the farm-raised salmon, which is, you know, nowhere near as bad as the genetically modified salmon. Okay? Very bad. So here's an ad that was put out by the drug companies not more than a few years ago. DDT is good for me. Dun, 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 dun. So that's what they're saying now. GMO is good for me. The lies that they proliferate is that the only way we can feed the world is to have, you know, these GMO products available. And this is an actual ad from a magazine. Okay? So then we finally learned better. So how do we avoid GMOs? Well, right now, yes, if it's labeled as organic or it's labeled as wild, that's one way you can attempt. Now, wild salmon, you know, that means you're going to be paying $15.99 a pound, right? And then if you, then one next to it, that's $7.99 a pound, that's going to be the farm-raised. And then the GMO might be, you know, $5.99 a pound. And don't forget, it will not be labeled. It will not tell you GMO, okay? And even now, more so. So, you know, basically you can buy products that are labeled non-GMO, although now you won't have the labels anymore because that's what this law that could pass tomorrow is not going to allow that labeling anymore. Okay? So when I made these slides, that was still available. Oh, and I do want to point out this because, you know, they chopped my time that I can talk to you now, so I don't know how much of it will get through. But this is an important thing. It's called the non-GMO shopping guide.com. And the guy who's in charge of that, perhaps you've seen him speak, and the name of the place is Responsible Technologies. And his name is Jeffrey Smith. Has anybody ever heard of him? He's going around the country lecturing all over the place. He's made really good movies about it. We'll show his reference at the end too. So, how vigilant are you to avoid GMO foods when you're eating out? It's almost impossible when you're eating out, okay? I do keep a completely GMO-free home, and I actually take my own food everywhere I go. As a matter of fact, I have never eaten out on this whole adventure here that we've been here, right? Because I went to Whole Foods, and I brought food with me, and I just go to my room every time there's an eating break, and that's how I do it. You know, to not just limit GMOs, but all kinds of chemicals and additives and et cetera. So that's what you can do, is eat more of your own food. Are you active in educating people about GMO? A lot of people don't know this. It's your job to tell everybody you know to vote today, call their senator today, and try to block this bill from passing. So here's how GMOs are made. We have the little corn, and then we take a leaf of the corn. We're extracting out a leaf. And then we have cells. And then we pull out the nucleus. And anyone who's in a laboratory, perhaps Dr. Ryan, would understand that exact process. So they're extracting out the nucleus of the cell. Then from the nucleus, there's a DNA strand. So they're going to extract. Oh, where's my pointer? He told me there's a. How to do this. Let's see. Ah! Thank you. Here's the DNA with genes, etc. And they're taking that strand out. And then they further extract out the base pairs. So this is just basic science. The AT and CG, the nucleotides, they're in base pairs on a particular genome in terms of the DNA strand. Okay, so this is what they do. I just showed you the pictures of it, right? They isolate a gene with a desired trait. Let's say the kind of traits they breed for are not nutrition. They'll breed for several things. One thing they breed for is resistance against the pesticides they sell. That is the main thing they breed for. So they want their soybeans and their corn to be able to live under massive doses of the pesticide and herbicides they sell, such as Roundup. Why? Because then they can sell the seeds, which, by the way, are also genetically modified so that the plant does not reproduce new seeds. It's called a terminator gene. So they are not trying to make this stuff more nutritious. They are trying to own food production in the world, and they are close to doing it. And they want to control a sales market for their products, both the seeds and the herbicides. So by the way, now many plants have become very resistant to Roundup, which is the first glycoside herbicide that they pushed. So now they're releasing Agent Orange resistant genes. So now the new things that they're forming are resistant to Agent Orange. So they can now start dumping Agent Orange all over the planet. This is diabolical. So it's exactly the opposite. So they isolate a gene, we all saw that. They change the gene so it will work in plants. So they very often take the gene from bacteria. Remember he talked about last night the E. coli? Right? They'll take it from some bacteria, they'll insert it in the plant, and then it transforms the plant cell using a gene gun or bacteria infection. And then they regrow the cells, and that's called cloning, so that all the plants are similar and all of them will be able to withstand very high levels and doses of herbicides and pesticides. Okay? And then they tested for, they add antibiotics to see if they can kill it off, and only some of the cells survive. So they're antibiotic resistant cells because then they mate with each other. They're purposely making antibiotic resistant plants, which also cause more antibiotic resistance to occur in people. And we are a total upswing on the antibiotic resistance. Okay, antibiotic resistance, a serious health hazard to introduce a gene that codes for antibiotic resistance into the normal flora of the general population. And this is the director of anti-infective drug products. And you know what happens to him when he says this? What happens to him? He's lost his job. Okay? So, also, that agency warned of allergens, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems, which absolutely are coming. Now, an FDA toxicology group said that they will contain unexpected high concentrations of toxic chemicals and also accidental changes in genetically engineered plants, which is happening in the field now, because the ones that are engineered fly over to people who are saying that they're organic, that they're farming organic, and that they don't allow GMO genes on their property. The pollen flies over to their property. Guess what? The FDA and Monsanto's reps come out and test the organic farmer's property, and they say, oh, you stole our proprietary genetic information because it's in your crops. And do you know what they do? I mean, nobody's heard of this. It's been all over the news. Yeah, they take their farm because they take them to court, and of course they can't keep up with the legal expenses next to Monsanto. So then the farm goes into foreclosure and Monsanto buys it up. And they're doing this rampantly, not only all over the country, but all over the world. They also make it illegal in towns where over a certain percentage of the farmers opt in, because, you know, they give them a good sales spiel, of course. They are then allowed to, no farmer in the entire county can own a seed collection device. Did you hear that? They make seed collection devices illegal. So if you're a farmer who's not going on the bandwagon, maybe some of you don't know what seed collection devices are, but we have lots of farmers in our group, not sitting here right now, but USPA, and they would know. So it makes it illegal for them to own that, believe it or not, because they want to own the seeds. Okay, so we're going to go a little fast only because, you know, we're going to have enough time. Now, the FDA, which is on that rotating back and forth door, they say, this is their current statement, and they use it on everything. The agency is not aware of any information showing that foods derived by these new methods differ from any other food in any meaningful or uniform way. And by using that statement, they get completely out of pre-market testing. So there, in other words, there's no reason to pre-market test GMO corn since we already know everything about regular corn, and it's they call it substantially the same. That is their argument and why this stuff does not have to ever be tested before it's released. So you're going to tell me that salmon is substantially the same?
No.
No, but a legal definition it is, so it does not have to be tested.
That's from 1992 yet.
Okay, so I have known about this process. When I went to Cornell in 1969, I was a student there, and they were looking for people to work in the lab, and I needed a, you know, whatever, the work study job thing for some extra money, so I worked in the lab, and I worked on this project. And who funded it was not Monsanto, because they were not involved in chemistry at that time. They were an underling of DuPont. So I worked through the laboratory, which was funded by DuPont. And that's when I became aware of this whole procedure, and that's when I started working against it and telling people about it, but it was just deaf ears. Okay? So it's been completely on the market in your food since 1990. Okay? So this is not new in any way. So there's secret FDA documents looking at the fact that, no, that's not true. There's lots and lots of differences. And the processes of genetic engineering and traditional breeding are different. You know, breeding has been going on a very long time. Any scientific people in here will understand what hybridization is. That's where we actually do genetically modify species, but through choice and natural reproduction. So we've been modifying species for years. Another thing that's common is grafting. Well, they'll take a serpentine tree and put the branch on the tree, and you know, the genes are somewhat mixed up there too, but that is not the same thing as this genetic modification. And they, well, you know, they just say, oh no, it's the same. So, all kinds of stuff, right? And here's a director of FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine. He says, I would urge you to eliminate statements that suggest that the lack of information can be used as evidence for no regulatory concern. Guess what happened to him?
He's gone.
Oh, they're all gone. Anybody who stands against this, anybody. Have any of you heard of that law that passed recently called the TPP? Which is the trade agreement? Who's heard of the trade agreement? Okay, some of you haven't. I don't know. I guess you don't have TVs, which is okay. Not a bad choice. But the TPP, nobody could read it. You weren't allowed to read it before you voted on it, which is why a lot of senators and even Democrats like said, I don't really feel like comfortable voting on it if I'm not allowed to read it. And people like Elizabeth Warren went on the war path against it. But it passed too, just like this Genetic Modification Act is going to pass. That TPP is mostly about forcing every country to take our genetically modified food, because many places in the world will not allow it in the door, and if they do allow it in the door, they have very obvious labeling. Like in the UK, I even saw, you know, GMO rice, let's say, with soybeans and non-GMO. It's right there. You can guess what happened to the GMO. Doesn't sell, right? So now we are instituting, through that TPP, trade agreements that will make it illegal to label it and illegal to deny its entry into any place in the world. Okay? So this is a big thing. So who overruled the scientists? Here's his name. Okay, guys. Michael Taylor, that's the guy. There is another one named Tom, but Michael Taylor is the one that is in charge of FDA policy. He's the Monsanto attorney. Later he was the Monsanto vice president, and he is now the U.S. food safety czar. Put into place by Obama the day he took office two terms ago, which was the last time I supported anything that he has done, because then I can see. And just so you know, Hillary is big time on board with this. Oh, no. Big time. And has put tons of energy and her own money into promoting GMOs, which is why she will also be off my list, because I really think this is one of the most devastating travesties that has ever occurred to the human race. So, you know, here we go, you know, 1996, as I said, this has been going on a very, very long time. It is our understanding that Monsanto has concluded that corn products derived from this new variety are not materially different, and that's why they don't need to do any safety studies whatsoever. Okay, so the first one was the tomato. Now, this is interesting. If you have in your barn or even at your house GMO food and non-GMO food, critters won't eat GMO food. And this is one of the experiments that they did. The rat refused to eat this tomato when they were testing it. And many animals avoid GMO food when they're given a choice. And when they're not given a choice, they get sick and their owner's vet bills go way up. Okay, and here's a bag of regular corn, and here's a bag of GMO corn that a farmer found in his, you know, silo. When you leave something there, you farmers know, the mice get in, and they refused to even touch the GMO corn. Yeah, exactly.
One experiment you can do for yourself, if you have squirrels in the yard, is buy some GMO corn and buy some organic corn. Put it out there and see which one the squirrels eat.
Exactly. And this goes on again and again. So, you know, a lot of rats developed lesions, and a lot of them die after they're studied. Okay. So the process of creating the GM crop creates unexpected changes in DNA. So Dr. Rhine, who knows a lot about DNA, wouldn't you say that this entire thing, like you even discussed in your experiments, it's not linear? DNA is not like a logo set where every time you put it in, everything stays exactly the same. There are mutation possibilities, there's energetic possibilities, there's reverse polarity possibilities, but they're treating this as if it's a logo set, you know, those things you play with, and you just put it in and everything's going to stay the same, but it does not. So we get a lot of unexpected changes because of mutations, because of gene deletion, because of altered gene expression, which is a whole new realm of science that I'm very much involved in called nutrigenomics. Because of all those things, we don't know, we have no clue about the vast changes that can occur. So there's disruption of gene networks, you know, on and on. So it alters RNA as well as DNA. And many, many more people are having soy allergies. That's one thing that has been documented since the GMO soy is in so many different things. Now, the UK attempted to create long-term safety studies. Anybody ever hear of this man? He's another one who was, you know, lost his license doing this kind of experiment. So he fed rats GMO food. This was published in The Lancet, by the way. It was published in The Lancet in 1999. And then they went back, and what do you think they did? Retracted. Because the GMO people do not want this information out, because the rats develop precancerous growth, smaller brains, livers and testicles, atrophy of the liver, and immune system damage. And it was published in The Lancet. This was the intestinal wall. You know, the GMO corn was quite, fed rats was quite different. The stomach lining, there were vast changes and increased growth and tumor growth. And also, the protein produced by the inserted gene in and of itself may also be harmful. Okay? So these are the things they want to change the plant to be able to do. Increase its tolerance to herbicides, as I mentioned before. Roundup ready. Pesticide production, where they add BT toxin into the actual crop. And then they sometimes have both traits. So are they breeding for increased nutrition? No. They're breeding for resistance to their own pesticides so they can then sell huge amounts of their own pesticides. That's the game plan here. Okay, so we're going to move ahead to some of the other stuff. So the government of Italy also did a study. Remember, for those of you who came in late, the United States government bans any study, any pre-market study on genetically modified crops. But other countries have participated in that. So here's one that the government of Italy did in 2008. It increased infertility and lowered birth weight of the mice. It was an indicator for liver and kidney toxicity, blood pressure problems, allergies, infections, disease, higher blood sugar. How about the diabetes, what they call a diabetes epidemic that's going on in our country now? Because how long, now you guys know, how long have you been eating, maybe not you, but most of you, and all the children in the United States, unless their parents are also particularly savvy, so let's say almost everybody, how long have we been eating completely inundated GMO food?
25
years. Yep, since 1990 around. That's when it's been on the market. 1990. So that's a long time. Enough for one generation that's starting to grow up with this vast array of increased allergenicity, increased cancer rate in children, increased diabetes across the spectrum. So a one-to-one correlation. Well, here's what we did in other countries, we're starting to do in other countries. We introduced BT cotton. When I say starting to do, with the new pact that was just passed, the TPP, now it will be completely flooding every single country on earth. Because, for instance, Brazil passed a law not allowing genetically modified food into the country. So they will not be able to do that anymore once the new trade agreements go into effect. So they sent BT corn to cotton, and then people found that they had all these diseases, like these rashes came up, itching all over the body, discoloration, and they documented this in the Sunday Indian Times. Hospital records show that victims of itching have increased. All of them are related to the BT cotton because they never had it there before, and then they initiated it, and then they all got this disease. And then what happened was, because don't forget, they don't have any, they got all these different symptoms. Now, what happens is when they raise cotton in India, they raise the cotton, and then they let their sheep and goats go in the cotton after they pick the cotton to just eat the cotton plants, and which works great because then it gets rid of the cotton plants, and then it feeds their animals. So that year, they all died. And that led to massive suicide. Nobody's heard of this? Of Indian farmers. Because when you lose your crop and you lose your farm animals, do you go to the government and get welfare? No, dears. You die. Period. And you watch your children die. And you watch your wife die. And that's why they committed them. They committed suicide in massive numbers. Because their whole entire life was wiped out because of, you know, the genetically modified cotton crops. So, you know, this was in the Hindustan Times in June of 2007. I'm not just getting this through the ethers, you know, not through my guides. Or I talk to my guides, but I need to talk to them about this because this is pure earthly facts. So the Andhra Pradesh government has advised farmers not to allow animals to graze on BT cotton fields, after four institutes reported the presence of toxins in them. But they didn't say we can't have BT corn anymore. You know why? They lose their funding from the U.S. Okay, and sheep also developed similar skin problems, you know, to the humans. So we're not going to go all of this stuff, but basically the sheep got sick and the people got sick and, you know, it's a mess. And Indian buffaloes also refused to eat, got all kinds of problems, and they died out too. You know, just devastation. Devastation to a very ancient traditional lifestyle, which we're seeing all over the world. It just so happens that I have pictures of this particular incident, but we could go through countries all over the world where this is happening. So they had holes in their lungs, liver, etc. And now this is a big question. Does BT toxin cause what's developing now known as biofilms. Maybe some of you have heard of that. And you've probably heard of the vast increase in digestive difficulties that people are experiencing, as well as autoimmune disease and depression and mental problems, all of which are linked to what we call the gut biome. And that is the little bugs that are healthy for us and live in our gastrointestinal tract. And there's a lot of undigested food in the rumens of those cows, so they're looking at the fact that it's killing, the GM crops are killing the healthy gut bacteria. So, you know, this is when they were just asking people, so who has been affected negatively on this, you know, just in a small town? So the suicides, very, very big. And this again is in the newspaper. 125,000 farmers took their own life as a result of the ruthless drive to use India as a testing ground for genetically modified crops. That was back in 2008. So, you know, it's moved ahead and is much worse now. Okay, in Germany, etc. And these are some of the things that can cause asthma, coughs, nosebleeds, swelling, fever, headache, dizziness, diarrhea, vomiting, etc. Okay. Now the thing is that the protein itself that they're injecting in the genetically modified crop may in fact be quite different than what they intended. And the transgene sequence can also mutate, truncate, rearrange, be read differently, and produce multiple proteins. As we discussed earlier, they cannot really determine what happens with it. They're about to release in Florida, my home state, millions of genetically modified mosquitoes. And we are working very hard to stop them from doing that. Now, what they're saying they're doing it for is there's one kind of mosquito that carries dengue fever. So what they're saying they're doing is they're releasing millions of this particular kind of mosquito, which has zebra-like legs, and that they're going to sterilize them. And they're going to be males that are sterilized, and the hope is that when they release them, they will mate with the female mosquitoes, which will then not lay eggs. And somehow that will cut down on the mosquito population. But when they pre-tested it in another small country, that's not what happened. The female mosquitoes, just like the rats, what did the rats do when they looked at the GMO corn?
Forget about it.
And what do you think the female mosquitoes do when they see a genetically modified guy?
Forget about it.
I don't think so. You know? And they are actually are making the choice to not mate with them. So then, will those genetically modified genes, will they become super mosquitoes that are even more aggressive? We have no idea. And they're releasing millions more of this particular species that carries dengue fever, which is madness, especially since there was one case of dengue fever. One case. And so they're going to like ruin everything in Florida over that. Just amazing what they're doing. So the protein can be folded differently, have different molecules attached. You know, this is normal, regular science. And altered protein and genetically modified peas may have turned them deadly. This was in Agricultural Food Chemistry, 2005. Tons of documentation. And then, of course, what about the herbicide residues? Anything that you eat that is genetically modified, which is almost everything, when I say you, you can take exception if you're one of those people who have been aware of this, like I have been since 1969 and purposely opted out, but if not, you've eaten it, then you're getting much higher levels of the pesticides because they plant the crop, and then they sell their pesticides, and then they spray the entire field with these pesticides that only the genetically modified seeds can grow through. That's the game plan. But those plants are then full of pesticides. And that was one of their original arguments, is that it will cut down on the use of pesticides. So it hasn't. We need to stop by 3, right, to do the panel. So we have time left. So not only has it not cut down on the use of pesticides, it has increased the use of pesticides tremendously. Okay, chickens. They died at twice the usual rate. Gene transfer to gut bacteria. The transfer of the genes to the gut bacteria can happen as well. And all kinds of things. This was actually a study done in Nature Biotechnology in 2004, showing that the plant cell can, once given a soy meal, goes into the human gut, and then it goes inside the bacteria inside the human gut. This was all scientifically valid. First it was a theory, and then they did a study and published it in Nature Biotechnology in 2004. So, antibiotic resistant, Roundup Ready, viral change. Now, you all know now that they're going to be phasing out the Roundup because it's become resistant. The weeds have become resistant to Roundup. So now they're going to create a whole new generation of genetically modified plants that are resistant to Agent Orange, which is what they're going to be using instead of the Roundup. Okay, so Hawaiian papaya, by the way, was pretty much every papaya that you buy in the store, if it's not an organic papaya. I grow my own papaya in Florida. All of those are genetically modified, as is most zucchini. And these regular zucchini, they're all genetically modified, and they do not have to claim it. As a matter of fact, with the new law coming in that will be passed tomorrow, if you don't get busy and get them to vote against it, then it will be illegal to even mention anything about GMOs with them. Okay, so, you know, lots of stuff. Here's a case study with Roundup Ready soy. It disrupted DNA, damaged section of the near transgenes, and extra transgene fragments. It increased anti-nutrient antibodies. This is the reason it's so linked into autoimmune disease, because it changes the genetic structure and activates the immune system, who recognizes it as an invading substance and then goes after your own body cells, which is what autoimmune disease is. And also increased Parkinson's disease, that they have noticed as well. And this is by David Schubert, PhD at the Salk Institute. Okay. Just want to get to some of the other things before we get to the end. So this is something that happened in the first 13 years of use of GMOs. It increased 383 million more pounds of pesticides were sold. That much more, which is now on our land and on our crops and in our bodies. And it's accelerating every single year. Talked about some of that. I want to get to where you can find out more. Soy allergies skyrocketed. Pancreas problems. It's just bad in every way. Okay, these are mice livers. This is the control, and this is the GMO-fed mice livers. So they increased in a lot of growth potentials that were really bad. You can pretty much see here. This is the control. This is the GMO soy testicles, change in structure and color. They had altered structure and function, as was published in the European Journal of Histochemistry in 2004. And as I said, the United States does not allow the publishing of this information in any journal in the United States. Okay. These are some of the rats. And you can see the difference, right? So this was a normal baby rat, and these are the GMO-fed baby rats. The mortality of rat offspring increased tremendously. You can see the difference in the growth potential, right? Control, non-GMO, and then the GMO. They're smaller and very sickly. And you can clearly see that here. And again, there were all kinds of studies on that. They also stopped conceiving, so it increases infertility by the time it's the second or third generation, which we're also seeing in our young people right now. These are other studies done on hamsters. By the third generation, they could no longer reproduce. Okay, this is one that was very well known. L-tryptophan, if any of you use nutrients, was taken off the market because they were genetically modifying it, and it caused eosinophilia in humans. So those of you who are familiar with supplements, remember that little fiasco that went on. Okay. So this is how it is. Current assessments, no post-marketing surveillance, no human trials, no proper evaluation of plant changes, approvals based on disproved or untested assumptions, and if there are any studies that are allowed to be published, it comes from Monsanto themselves. So this is the guy that you want to know about and get on his mailing list and support his efforts in terms of getting more information. Monsanto's plants. No food shall be grown that we do not own. That is exactly what their game plan is. Exactly. And with the passage of the new law as of tomorrow, and they wrote the law as of tomorrow, and they donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to your representatives to get this law passed, it just makes it much harder to work against them on any level. I'm going to give all that right after I finish these slides, about 5 minutes, because I gave it all already, but I am going to end and give it again, because that's the most important takeaway if you want to do anything. So we talked about that earlier. How do we stop the genetic engineering? Well, this guy, Jeffrey Smith, he is the one who put together the labeled GMO movement, which started about 5 years ago and has made a lot of advancements. There are states who have already produced GMO labeling laws, which is fantastic. Like, he actually looked at this giant and said, we can't stop this. This roller coaster is just coming to push us down, but we can choose one action, maybe in a coherent level. And he said, let's just choose labeling, just labeling. Because if we get it labeled, it's over, because nobody chooses it once it's labeled, right? And his name is Jeffrey Smith. He does, so let's see if we can find him. Okay, now he actually got the EUs to remove GMOs from major manufacturers like Nestle and McDonald's. Why? Because there were labeling laws in the EU, which now are going to be dismantled as of tomorrow. Okay? And, we'll just move through. U.S. awareness is low. Like, people write in the story, said, really? When I said, I've been working against GMO since 1969. Okay? And you've been eating it on your shelves like since the 1990. So really, U.S. awareness is very low. So, you remember this stuff, which is in all the milk? That, at least, why they dropped that is because it was in for 17 years and then the patent expired. Oh. So there was no more money in owning a patent for the BGH, so they sold it. This is his website, right here. You definitely want to be on his mailing list. It's responsibletechnology.org, responsibletechnology.org. Okay, all school meals are loaded. All junk food, okay. A lot of doctors, including the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, said that GM foods pose a serious health risk. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine shows that it's related to all kinds of dysfunctions, which I just showed you. Religious groups, health conscious shoppers are really moving. I mean, this is why, there is so much consciousness now among consumers. How do you think Whole Foods is growing? Even though they have higher prices, they're sprouting up all over the place. And they do not have only non-GMO food, not by any means, nor do they say they do. Okay, there was a little movie where they went around and they interviewed like people who check you out of the line at Whole Foods, and they said, does your store carry any GMOs? And the people who worked there said, oh no, we're Whole Foods, we would never carry a GMO. But that's not true, you know. It was just picking up on the ambiance. They were never really told that, they just assumed that. Right, they say, they clearly let labeled, it's conventional, but I'm saying that somebody did a trick video showing that even that the employees said they didn't have it and they do have it. So you need to read your own labels. Okay, so this is very important that you can actually put out literature for your friends and family. There's retailer. Now this is, has anyone ever seen this, the non-GMO project label? Somebody started this and companies pay a lot of money to get this label. It's like the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. And by the way, it will be outlawed when this law goes into effect after tomorrow. Because the only one who will be in charge of labeling of any kind will only be the government. Okay? So this company is going to be in trouble. And they're working very hard, obviously, to not get it passed. But as of now, this is a pretty good insignia if you find food with this. Who's ever seen this in their store? That's like, I'll buy stuff that has that on it if it has other ingredients also that I'm okay with. Usually I just don't buy anything with any paragraph ever. What does that mean, no paragraph? No, I mean no paragraph. So I don't buy any packaged food at all. No packaged food.
It means broccoli.
Yeah.
It means green beans.
Exactly. That's even what's in my bag. You know what I mean? That I carried around all this weekend with my food, which is right under the table there. You know, there's like an avocado, not guacamole mix in a box.
No way.
You know? So it's really pretty easy. And responsibletechnology.org. Okay, he's got the non-GMO shoppingguide.com, which, by the way, is available both as an app. For those of you who know what that is, I don't. I don't have a smartphone. I have the dumb phone. But he does have a free non-GMO shoppingguide.com. There's an app for it, and there's also a booklet that you can print for free in terms of how to petition the government for labeling. Obama has been absolutely one of the worst players in proliferating. Not as bad as Hillary, though, because she actually has money in the game. And he probably does, too, but it's less obvious. These are all the wonderful, wonderful movies and books that Jeff Smith wrote. Did you ever hear of any of these? They're all fantastic. You can show them to groups. Genetic Roulette, the GMO Trilogy. Never heard of Seeds of Deception? That was a fantastic one. You can watch it online for free. You can buy the book. You can buy the video. You can share it with your neighbors. That's a really good one. Seeds of Deception, exposing industry and government lies about the safety of the genetically engineered food that you're eating. That's an excellent one. The World According to Monsanto, another fantastic movie. So he is a great person to tune into in terms of that. And he's got a newsletter for free called Spilling the Beans that you can sign up for. And a DVD, The World According to Monsanto. Genetic Roulette, that was another fantastic series that he put together. And this is his other books. Okay, so that's the end of the slides. Now, with the few remaining minutes, I do want to again give out the information about the law that passed Thursday. While we hear this law passed, and this is the name of the law, it already went through the United States Congress. It's passed, and it passed by a huge majority. Tomorrow, the Senate, the United States Senate, will be voting on this. If you want your representative to at least know how you feel about it, you need to get in touch with them tonight or overnight or tomorrow morning. We have computers set up right here in the hotel that you can just go online and do that. And this is the name of the law. This is what your representatives and senators are seeing. The name of the law is the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. It is anything but isn't that a fantastic name? A lot of you sitting here, this is new information to you. So it's new information to the guys in Congress too. They have no idea. But does that sound nice? The Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. You need to know the number. The number of this act, as of today, and by the way, you know what they do, they change the numbers overnight too. But as of today, the number is HR 1599. As of today. Might be something else tomorrow. What those of us who would like to stop the passage of this diabolical legislation, what we call it is the DARK Act. That stands for Denying Americans the Right to Know, which is exactly what this act will do. And just to review, this is what it will do. It will overturn any state that has already instituted mandatory GMO labeling, and that includes Vermont, Connecticut, Hawaii, and about 10 other states have already passed that they want GMOs, and they were going to start labeling it, making it mandatory labeling in their state. It will completely eliminate their ability to do that. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that it will make a lot of states and even counties have put bans on growing GMO foods in the county. A lot of whole states like Hawaii, and they took an exception to pineapple and papaya because it's too entrenched there, you know, economically. But they actually banned growing GMO crops. That will be wiped out. The states will not be able to make growing GMO illegal. In addition, the FDA will not even be allowed to conduct any kind of pre-market safety testing on any up-and-coming GMO crop, even as they change over from Roundup to Agent Orange as the applicant, which they're in the middle of doing now. So the other thing that this law will do is work in concert with the recently passed TPP trade agreements to strengthen the inability of any country to not allow GMOs in or to label GMOs. Now, some of the verbiage in the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act does allow government labeling of GMOs, but it's completely voluntary. And they can just opt out of doing it, so whether you see the label or you don't see the label will mean nothing. Okay, so sorry about the bad news, but I'm kind of happy to share it because I've been fighting this battle. I felt, you know, very lonely since 1969 when I was working for DuPont and Cornell Laboratories on developing this GMO technology. And of course, like I said, I was obviously a lot younger then, and even then there was nothing I could do about it. I actually quit the job and worked in another lab because I was too aggravated every day by, you know, being part, that was before, you know, before it was actually Monsanto, it was DuPont. So, do we have any questions?
I'd like to say two things. One is, this treaty business, this TPP stuff.
Right.
Kind of echoes NAFTA. Provision echoes NAFTA.
That's correct, it's worse.
Any world corporation to sue any country to sue any corporation for profits not realized. Okay, so if Monsanto peanuts don't get sold and sit on a shelf over in Germany, entities in Germany can sue the United States government under NAFTA. Okay, if they get a judgment, the taxpayers pay a penalty. Not Monsanto. That's NAFTA. TPP has got the same stuff in it. Even the legislators have the same.
Exactly.
The second thing is about the election, something that may affect the future election. It's conspiracy theory, but it's worthy of our consideration about how things work. There was a report a while back. The reason for it, the Benghazi affair, which Hillary's very much listening in this Republican case. Sorry, she's coming up with something there, maybe hidden in her email, her private email, but that who attacked the Benghazi embassy was an Italian eco-terrorist group. Eco-terrorists in Italy attacking our embassy in Benghazi because of an United Nations plan to force people in North Africa to plant GMO food. Force them. And we've seen the various mechanisms for that, how that can be done. So this story is true. Pablo de Ruiz-Press may be borne out as the election comes to maturity. I'm sorry, as the candidacies come to maturity. And this may affect Hillary. State. The attack on the Benghazi embassy, she's stuck with that. So it's true. Just for instance, the way of thinking about things.
Let's go on to if there's any other questions. We can officially end. Okay, yes.
No, I'm not positive, but I think I saw a sign in Trader Joe's that said they're not selling GMO products. Do you know anything?
That's an 100% lie on every level. The store is loaded with GMO products. Loaded. I can't imagine they would even say that. Even their vitamin pills are loaded. Do they have vitamin E? Vitamin E is GMO. Do they have vitamin C? Vitamin C is extracted from corn. It's GMO. So I can't imagine them. You saw a sign saying we do not sell any GMO products?
No, they don't.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Well, that's a complete lie. I can hardly believe it. Now, it might have been like on the salad bar, and it says there's no GMO products right here, that's possible. But they sell corn chips, they sell organic ones, like Beverly was pointing out last night. We were eating corn chips, and they were blue corn, and it did say organic, which, you know, pretty much means they're non-GMO, but they'll usually have a variety. All their stuff isn't even organic, so that's obscene and absurd if they're saying that. Ludi?
I've been working on this GMO from a radionic point of view for probably 6 years. I had an opportunity to go to Mexico and when the tomatoes were first coming out. I didn't quite understand what it was seen energetically, but I knew it wasn't something that I wanted to do. And recently, I have been working the last couple of years. I have several rates. Test for GMO contamination and GMO disease. And those rates seem to be, I measure them on a percent scale, but the rate is a link to that pattern in the field of whatever you're sensitive to, whether it's the seed or the sensitive cell, or the sensitive product. When I first started doing it for myself years ago, I actually wrote on my food